This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Welcome to HeartWise, everyone. We have a very interesting topic we're going to talk about today, and hopefully everyone has two of these, and these are kidneys. I guess some people don't have but one, but hopefully most of us have two kidneys, and we have a renowned specialist with us today that specializes in nephrology, and his name is Dr. Nathan Chamberlain. Dr. Chamberlain, thank you for joining us today on HeartWise.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Markham.
Well, what we've done, Dr. Chamberlain, is we collect questions that come into our website, and whenever we have a certain volume of questions, what I try to do is group the questions that are similar, and I bring a specialist in that knows a lot about the subject, and then we answer that question, because if one person has that question, many persons has that questions. So I'm going to jump right in, if it's okay with you.
Sure.
And this person writes us, and he says, I'm on dialysis. And this person wants to know, what would make me transplant eligible? But before we talk about transplantation and dialysis, let's talk about things about the kidney that might cause us for the kidneys to go bad, so we would need those things.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess starting off real basic, all of the, everything's driven by lab when we talk about the kidney.
Okay.
So, yeah, a lot of times people don't even have symptoms. I'd say most of the time people don't even have symptoms, and they may find out that they have what's called chronic kidney disease.
Okay.
And that is diagnosed off of lab work that's routine and drawn usually by a primary care physician on a annual checkup.
Okay.
And what we look at is called the creatinine, and it's one of the basic blood work tests. And once they have the creatinine, they do a calculation called the GFR. And the GFR is the glomerular filtration rate, which is the amount of blood that is filtered by the kidney. It's measured in milliliters per minute.
Okay.
And once we have the GFR, we can diagnose someone with chronic kidney disease.
Now, what might cause a chronic kidney disease?
What causes that in our country, most of the time you're talking about hypertension and diabetes.
Okay.
The long-standing high blood pressure can result in some wear and tear on the kidney filters.
Okay.
And then long-standing diabetes, you know, as it affects your eyes and your nerves and other parts of your body, also causes problems in the kidneys where you will lose protein and get some damage to the kidneys from that.
Okay. So sorry I interrupted you. So you check your creatinine, and that's a filtration rate.
That's right. And once you have the GFR, you can stage your level of kidney function. And the definition of chronic kidney disease would be a GFR less than 60 milliliters per minute for more than 3 consecutive months.
Okay.
And stage 3 CKD, or chronic kidney disease, is what we have when your filtration rate is 30 to 60.
Okay.
And as the filtration rate goes down, the degree of your CKD goes up. It gets worse. And when you're talking about the patient who had a question about that, and they were on dialysis, dialysis is when the GFR gets down in the 10 to 15 range.
Okay. So let me simplify this. So when it goes down that low, if the kidneys can't filter the things that are bad, then the bad things build up in us. Is that right?
Yes, and a simplified analogy is that your body is a bathtub.
Okay.
And if your body is a bathtub and it's full of dirty water that you should normally filter, and if your kidneys or the drain of the bathtub is not filtering, those toxins and the dirty water and poisons kind of build up over time and can make you feel bad.
Okay. Now, what might be some of the symptoms as if it gets really worse and worse, kidney disease?
Yeah, again, most of the time you're not going to have symptoms when this is discovered.
Okay.
But when you get to the point where you have uremia, which is when the toxins build up to a level where you need to start dialysis, you would have usually nausea in the morning.
Okay.
You would have vomiting, low appetite, fatigue, not feeling well, and sometimes we see itching phosphorus level builds up.
Okay. So we get all those toxins build up. Now, how do you get your patients if most people don't know that they have this?
Well, almost exclusively as a nephrologist, I get my patients from primary care physicians who refer patients who are found to have chronic kidney disease on their lab work.
So should everyone have some lab work done at some point in their life to see how their kidneys are doing? Is that a routine thing, or should you start it like in your 20s, or when should you have that checked?
Well, definitely if you have a family history of chronic kidney disease, or you know, someone on dialysis or even hypertension or diabetes, I would recommend a routine checking of blood work starting in early adulthood.
Okay.
As far as I think everyone should be regularly seeing a doctor and getting their creatinine checked. Of course, that's what I do every day. But you're not going to know you have CKD if you don't have your creatinine checked.
Okay. Now, getting back to our question, this patient is on dialysis. That means his kidneys have not filtered the toxins out. And they want to know specifically about transplant. What makes a person eligible for transplant or not eligible for a transplant of the kidneys?
Yes, and that's a very good question. We have... We have a long list of people who are waiting on transplants in our country. We have a lot of people on dialysis, and a lot of people are waiting for a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it's a quality of life issue. People do okay on dialysis, but when they get a transplant, they get normal kidney function back, even with the one kidney.
Wow.
And that results in improve quality of life and, longer survival for a dialysis patient.
Okay.
And things that would make someone not a dialysis candidate would be severe heart disease that maybe is not fixable.
Right.
And then someone who's had cancer, depending on the type, within the last few years.
Okay.
And then maybe somebody who had like an Alzheimer's or a dementia type illness.
What about diabetes?
We have a lot of people with diabetes get transplant every day.
Okay. And how about, you ask about, other things. How about age? Is age a factor at all? Or
age is not a factor as far as getting a transplant. There are new criteria called extended criteria donor kidneys. So anyone of any age should be looked at to get a transplant, because those people, as they were transplanted, would actually live longer and do better than they would on dialysis.
Okay.
And it's case by case, like I said. But if someone's not going to get a kidney transplant based on their age, I'll leave it like that.
Okay. Now, so Dr. Chamberlain, if a patient comes to you on dialysis, do you routinely say you would be eligible for transplant, or is that a patient does? Who initiates that discussion for someone on dialysis?
So it should be the dialysis clinic.
Okay.
The dialysis clinic should be looking at each patient, and everybody should be asked whether or not they're interested in transplant.
Right.
And if they're interested in transplant, at least be referred for education. Now, there are, of course, people who will not qualify, the people we talked about before. And another one may be like a hepatitis.
Right.
Hepatitis C or hepatitis B. Depending on the liver biopsy. A lot of people still do get transplants with those diseases. But again, it's a case-by-case situation.
So if you're interested and eligible, the next step would be to go to a transplant center, or what's this next step?
Yeah, you would be referred by the dialysis unit to a transplant center, and then you would, depending on where you are, you would go through an evaluation process that usually takes couple of days.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a big process that there's, and a lot of people are waiting to get kidneys, huh?
It's very involved. And I think the average wait time for a kidney in our area is 3 to 5 years.
Wow. You always,
That's on the cadaver list.
Oh, okay.
And you're talking about when you go to a transplant center and get on the list, we're talking about cadaver or deceased donor transplant.
Okay. These are not
people who have died in a car accident or for whatever reason.
It's not a family member or anything like that.
Right. And if you can get a living donor, whether it's a relative or not, you can get your kidney usually much quicker than that.
Well, I'm going to stop you there. We're about ready to go to break, and I hope you're learning a little bit about your kidneys with Dr. Nathan Chamberlain. After break, we're going to talk some ways about how to keep your kidneys well. We'll be right back after this break.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "I was reading a recent poll of men who were asked who they thought was the most influential male in the world today. Number one on the list was Don Draper, a character on a television series. He's not even a real person. Number two was Usain Bolt, an Olympic athlete who many believe defines the true spirit of competition, and President Barack Obama slipped in as number three. This is just another example of how the media has the power to create an influential character, market him as an ideal to the world, and affect the minds of a large segment of the population. That same media is doing the same thing when it comes to telling us how to build and maintain optimum health." Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit HeartWiseMinistries.org. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by HeartWiseMinistries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on HeartWiseMinistries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's HeartWiseMinistries.org.
Welcome back to HeartWise. I'm talking today with nephrologist Dr. Nathan Chamberlain. And for those who don't know what a nephrologist is, it's a doctor that's trained in internal medicine that specializes in the care of kidneys. And Dr. Chamberlain worked with Nephrology Associates out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he's a great nephrologist. We get to work with him and his group. They're all great every day. And in last segment, we were talking about someone that needed transplantation, Dr. Chamberlain. And this next question is a little bit different. This is a person that has a history of polycystic kidney disease in his family. And this person does not have polycystic kidney disease in his family, but he is wanting to know some ways that he might protect his kidneys and keep his kidneys happy. And I guess, is there anything you can do to protect your kidneys from a genetic defect?
That's a very good question. Polycystic kidney disease has a lot of variation. And I would assume that this person would be talking about autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease, which is the most common form that we see. And that is a 50% chance of inheritance. And if I understood the question right, the family has polycystic kidneys.
Yes, they have it
kidneys,
in the family, and he wants to know. Well, he doesn't know. So what should he do?
He doesn't know.
What should he do?
Okay.
But he doesn't want to keep his kidneys happy.
Yeah, I think it depends on your age, first of all. But what we talk about with autosomal dominant is that if you have the gene, it is expressed. So you have a 50% chance of getting that gene from the affected parent.
Okay.
So there's a 50% chance you don't have polycystic kidney disease, but you won't know unless we do an ultrasound or CAT scan or some type of imaging pictures of the kidneys.
So you couldn't pick it up on a blood test.
Right. Okay. You can have normal kidney function and still have polycystic kidney disease.
Okay, that's good to know.
And it depends upon your age, because as you age, as people age, you can get cysts on your kidney.
Mm-hmm.
Even normal people who don't have polycystic kidney disease.
Right.
So there are criteria, and I think depending on the person's age, they would need an ultrasound,
mm-hmm.
and probably maybe a yearly ultrasound to see if cysts develop at some point.
Right.
Now, assuming the patient in question does not have polycystic kidney disease,
right.
Things that could keep your kidneys healthy, of course, would be to control your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And as a nephrologist, we like you to be in the 120 over 70 range.
Ooh, that's really low.
And we like that to keep it on the low end to prevent further damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want your diabetes under very good control if you have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be keeping that hemoglobin A1C level down in the 6 to 7 range.
Okay.
And then we want to drink plenty of water.
Good.
Unless there's a reason not to.
Right.
And avoid medications like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
Okay.
Which can, over time, cause kidney damage in and of themselves.
Okay.
If taken in high doses.
Okay. Now, can antibiotics hurt the kidneys?
Antibiotics can.
Okay.
Especially if you have some chronic kidney disease.
Okay.
But basically, any drug you take is filtered to some degree by the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And not just antibiotics, but other medications can cause an allergic reaction sometimes in the kidney. Now, that would be more of an acute kidney injury rather than a chronic kidney disease process.
Okay. So we're writing this down. So you know, what about testing? Is there anything, you know, testing-wise that can hurt? You know, occasionally hear about certain contrast things. Does that really damage the kidneys or not?
It certainly can, especially, again, in someone with chronic kidney disease. And one of the things we tell our patients regularly is to avoid IV contrast.
Okay.
So if you go to the hospital and get a CAT scan
mm-hmm.
and you drink contrast, oral contrast, that has, in our best knowledge, does not cause kidney damage.
Good.
But if you were to get IV contrast for a CAT scan, then that is what, or for a cardiac catheterization or a coronary angiogram, that type of dye can damage kidneys.
Yeah. Now, you know, we are, you know, at least in the heart world, we're using, you know, lower ionic, you know, we're using safer dyes now. So I don't see it quite as much as we used to.
Yeah, I see it more probably on my end because all of my patients already have some
underlying
chronic kidney disease to start with.
Okay, so you've really given us some good ways to keep our kidneys happy. Water, watch your medicines, watch contrast agents, keep your diabetes and high blood pressure under control. Those are some great suggestions. Now, we have a time for another question here, and let's get to that one. And this person says, my kidney function is not normal. Is there anything or medicines I can do to help the filtration rate get better? So they want, is there any medicines they can do to sort of help their kidneys get better?
That's another very good question. I would, not knowing the details.
Yeah,
that,
it's in general.
Basically the things that we just talked about, in my opinion, if you've got chronic kidney disease, the patients I see, as long as they're not getting worse, I'm pretty happy.
Okay.
To meaning that I wouldn't expect an improvement in kidney function over the long term. But if you can hold steady and not have your kidney function worsen over time, then we're pretty happy with that.
Good.
But what we normally do is people with high blood pressure or diabetes with protein in the urine, we like certain medications, particularly ACE inhibitors and ARBs, which help slow down the rate of decline of kidney function in patients with chronic kidney disease.
Okay.
And, of course, what we talked about earlier by controlling blood pressure and diabetes and avoiding those non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit now. We've had several questions that come into our website about diuretics and kidneys. Do diuretics help the filtration, hurt the filtration, or what are the role in is diuretics in kidney disease?
A lot of times we have to use diuretics.
And explain to our audience what they do, actually.
Well, diuretics, you know, we're talking about water pills.
Uh-huh.
And there are several different different kinds of diuretics. But what happens is the kidneys, as they don't filter, a lot of times you will have some water or fluid retention, sodium retention, salt. And when that happens, we can prescribe a diuretic, which alters the kidney's ability to hold on to salt and water, and therefore your urine output will increase.
Okay.
Diuretics can increase the creatinine level at times.
Okay.
But in and of themselves, I don't think they cause any chronic kidney disease or worsening of chronic kidney disease. They're a necessary part of a lot of medical regimens in dealing with patients with CKD and edema or swelling.
Okay. Have you ever seen them hurt people?
If they're used appropriately, usually not, but sometimes you can get what we call dry or dehydrated from overuse of diuretics. And if you get that, then your creatinine level or your kidney function will get worse.
Yeah. Well, I saw a patient recently in the hospital that had swollen legs. You know, heart was fine, kidney function was fine. They just had swollen legs and probably from having bad veins in retrospect. Well, they were given a lot of diuretic. Okay.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that diuretic wasn't smart enough just to take fluid out of the legs, and it took fluid out of the whole body, including potassium. And that person got in a little bit of trouble when their potassium got down to 2. So, so you got to, like I said, I try to tell people you can get at the cause, the cause of the swelling wasn't a diuretic. The cause was, probably too much sodium and bad veins. If you can help that out, maybe you can avoid taking the risks of some of the diuretics.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Every medication that you take does have some side effect.
Everyone has. Now I know you talk to people about kidneys every day, and you have our audience just waiting for some great tips here. If you had to talk to our audience here and want to leave them with one or two things that they should take home from this talk today, what would you leave them with, Dr. Chamberlain?
Well, I would first of all recommend everybody know their kidney number, and that kidney number is the serum creatinine.
Okay.
And I would encourage everyone to get to their primary care physician and find out what their creatinine level is and whether or not they have chronic kidney disease. Because, again, you will not have symptoms from this. And if you can catch it early enough, we can prevent problems down the road.
Excellent. And Lisa,
so if you know your kidney number, control your blood pressure, control your diabetes, watch your salt intake, and lay off of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and hopefully you'll have healthy kidneys from here on out.
Well, that's great advice from Dr. Chamberlain. If you'd like to leave a question for Dr. Chamberlain, you can go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org, and we'll have him on again sometime to answer your specific questions. Dr. Chamberlain, we want to thank you so much today for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on HeartWise.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, friends, if you have a question or concern, again, go to our website. And remember, at HeartWise, we like to take a balanced approach, remembering that there's a place for modern medicine, especially in acute care injury, but that doesn't fix everything. There's a place for lifestyle changes, but it's in that unique relationship that you develop with God that helps bring you to ultimate healing. We want to thank you for joining us each and every week on HeartWise. We want to also thank our special guest, Dr. Nathan Chamberlain, nephrologist at Nephrology Associates here in Chattanooga, for joining us. And thank you also for joining us today on HeartWise.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.